Hey, welcome back to Unzip, the show where we crack open the latest AI and ML research papers and pull out what actually matters. Big thanks to our sponsors, Ada, which bridges the gap between research and production AI, including their Glow compiler that turns research models into real production inference. Seriously cool stuff. Ago Consulting, pronounced Ago, your go-to for silicon development from AI chips all the way to full SoC design. And Zen Semiconductor, an umbrella company with a whole portfolio of silicon industry companies, plus Ada for deploying AI at scale in any business. We couldn't do this without them. Today, we're unpacking five papers covering computer use agent evaluation, coding agent data pipelines, multimodal reasoning provenance, visual state verification in ML models, and a brand new hybrid diffusion transformer architecture. Let's get into it. All right, paper one. This one's called OS Reward, and it's tackling a problem that anyone building computer using agents, or CUAs as the field calls them, has probably already bumped into. How do you actually know if your agent did the right thing?
Like, an agent opens a browser, clicks some buttons, fills out a form. Did it complete the task? Did it do it correctly? Verifying that at scale is genuinely hard. The traditional answer has been human annotators. You hire people to watch agent trajectories, which are basically recordings of what the agent did, what the screen looked like at each step, and what the agent was thinking, and they judge whether the task got done. But that doesn't scale. You can't have humans reviewing millions of trajectories when you're doing reinforcement learning or curating training data. So the field has been turning to vision language models as automated judges. VLMs can look at a screenshot, read the agent's reasoning, and decide, task complete or not. Sounds great in theory. But here's the gap OS Reward is identifying. There's been no standardized way to evaluate whether these VLM judges are actually good at their job. We've been using judges without knowing how good the judges are. That's a problem. What the OS Reward team does is build a comprehensive benchmark specifically for evaluating these reward models, the VLMs acting as judges.
They cover multiple operating systems and platforms because an agent clicking around on Windows versus Linux versus a web browser looks very different, and a good reward model needs to handle all of that. The benchmark includes diverse task types and carefully constructed trajectories, including tricky cases where the agent almost gets it right or does the right actions in the wrong order. They evaluate a bunch of existing VLMs under this standardized framework and find somewhat predictably that there's a lot of variance. Some models that look strong on general vision language benchmarks turn out to be surprisingly unreliable as CUA judges. The standardized evaluation surface lets you actually compare apples to apples for the first time. For practitioners, this is genuinely important infrastructure work. If you're training CUAs with reinforcement learning, your reward signal is only as good as your reward model. OS Reward gives you a principled way to pick and evaluate that reward model rather than just vibing about which VLM seems most reliable. That's a meaningful step toward making CUA development more rigorous and reproducible.
Paper 2 is Change to Task, and this one is squarely in the coding agent space. The core problem is data scarcity, specifically the kind of data you need to train and benchmark coding agents. Not just code snippets, but full executable tasks where the agent gets a real software environment, a clear specification of what to do, and a reliable way to check whether it succeeded. That combination is expensive to create by hand. You need a working code base, a realistic task, and a verification suite, and they all need to be consistent with each other. Existing datasets are limited, and as models get better, you need more and harder examples to keep pushing the frontier. The insight behind Change to Task is elegant. Repository history already contains exactly this information. Every merge pull request in a software project represents a real task that a human developer completed. There's a before state, an after state, a description of what needed to happen, and the actual code changes as ground truth. The challenge is turning that historical record into something an agent can actually train on and be evaluated against. The tricky part is that code ages. A pull request from 3 years ago touched code that looks very different from what the same repository looks like today. Dependencies have changed, APIs have shifted, tests have been refactored. Change to task aligns the historical task specification with a healthy modern revision of the same repo, essentially replanting the old task into the current codebase so it's actually executable today. They also do verification, making sure the reconstructed tasks are genuinely solvable and that the test suites correctly confirm success. They report generating large numbers of verified tasks across diverse real-world repositories, which is the kind of scale that's hard to achieve with manual curation. The practical upshot for ML teams working on coding agents is real. This is a pipeline you could in principle run continuously. Every week there are new merged PRs across open source repos, which means a continuously expanding supply of fresh training and evaluation tasks. That's a big deal for keeping agent training from stagnating on stale benchmarks. Paper 3 is Ellie Dear Mind, and it's addressing something subtle but really important about how we evaluate multimodal agents. These are agents that can see images, call tools, retrieve information, and reason across multiple steps. The problem is that current evaluation mostly just asks, did you get the right final answer? And that's a surprisingly weak signal. Here's why it's weak. A model could get the right answer by actually doing the right reasoning, looking at the image, retrieving the right fact, connecting them correctly, or it could get the right answer by pattern matching on text alone, basically ignoring the visual input. Or, weirdest of all, it could make two mistakes that cancel each other out. All three cases look identical if you only check the final answer. Ellie Derman proposes treating the agent's reasoning trajectory as what they call a provenance-constrained state machine. The word provenance here means being able to trace where each piece of information came from. Every tool call the agent makes, every image it looks at, every document it retrieves, gets logged into what they call a structured evidence ledger. The key constraint is that when the agent makes a claim or draws a conclusion, it has to be traceable back to something in that ledger. You can't just assert a fact, you have to show which tool output or visual observation it came from. This makes the reasoning process auditable in a way that final answers evaluation completely misses. They evaluate existing multimodal agents under this framework and find, as you might suspect, that models which look great on final answers accuracy often have surprisingly shaky provenance. They're getting lucky, or they're leaning on language priors rather than actually processing the visual information. That's a red flag for anyone deploying these systems in domains where reliability actually matters. For practitioners, this points toward a more rigorous evaluation methodology before shipping multimodal agents in high-stakes settings. If you're building a system that needs to interpret charts, read documents, and answer questions about them, you want to know the model is actually looking at those charts, not just pattern matching. Ledgermend gives you a framework to check that. Paper 4 is C2 Think, and it's asking a question that sounds almost philosophical but has very concrete implications. When multimodal LLMs generate intermediate visual artifacts, sketches, annotations, modified images during their reasoning process, do they actually use them? Or are they just decorative? This is increasingly relevant because a lot of the newer multimodal reasoning approaches involve the model producing intermediate visual states as part of its chain of thought. The idea is that drawing a sketch or annotating an image helps the model reason spatially or visually, the same way writing intermediate steps helps with math. But that only works if the model is actually reading those intermediate visuals. The C2 Think team found that existing benchmarks for evaluating this are limited in two key ways. First, the task coverage is narrow. They don't test the full range of scenarios where visual reasoning matters. Second, and more critically, many existing benchmark tasks can actually be solved using text alone without looking at the images at all. So you can't tell from benchmark performance whether the model is doing genuine visual reasoning. Their framework introduces a unified evaluation setup that specifically controls for this. They include tasks that are genuinely unsolvable without processing the intermediate visual states, and they evaluate not just the final answer, but how those intermediate visuals were generated, rendered, and used in subsequent reasoning steps. It's a much more granular diagnostic. When they run existing multimodal models through this framework, they find that reliance on intermediate visual states varies a lot across models and doesn't correlate as cleanly with overall benchmark performance as you'd hope. Some highly capable models are essentially ignoring their own visual outputs during reasoning. For anyone developing or deploying multimodal systems that involve visual reasoning chains, this is an important diagnostic tool. If your model is producing intermediate sketches or annotations, but not actually using them, you're paying computational cost for something that's providing no benefit and potentially getting worse reliability than you think. Okay, paper 5, Chimera, and this one is more of an architecture paper, which I always find exciting because the ideas compound over time. The problem Chimera is tackling is the scaling cost of visual generation. Generating high-resolution images, long videos, and handling multimodal context, text plus images plus video, all in one system is brutally expensive with standard transformer attention, which scales quadratically with sequence length. Quadratic scaling means that if you double the resolution of an image, you roughly quadruple the compute in the attention layers. For long videos, that's even worse. So there's a real ceiling on what you can practically generate without either spending enormous amounts of compute or compromising quality. Chimera's approach is a hybrid backbone, mixing different attention mechanisms strategically rather than using full attention everywhere. The two key components are Kimi Delta attention, or KDA, which gives you linear complexity, so O of N rather than O of N squared, and is specifically designed for long context state tracking. Think of it as a mechanism that can maintain coherent information across very long sequences efficiently.
Interleaved with KDA is Multi-Head Latent Attention, or MLA, which provides the high-quality local attention you need for fine-grained detail. The insight is that you don't need full quadratic attention everywhere. You need it in the right places. Hybrid architectures can give you most of the quality at a fraction of the cost. One detail I found particularly interesting is that Chimera processes text, image, and video tokens in a single raster-ordered stream, row by row, like how a screen renders, without positional embeddings. That's a meaningful design choice because positional embeddings get complicated fast when you're mixing modalities with very different spatial structures. The paper also introduces what they call a principled scaling recipe, essentially, the chinchilla-style analysis for hybrid diffusion transformers. Chinchilla was a landmark paper that figured out the optimal ratio of model size to training data for LLM's Chimera. Does the analogous work for this class of visual generation model, figuring out how to allocate compute across the linear and quadratic attention layers as you scale up? The results show strong performance on image and video generation benchmarks while staying computationally tractable at high resolution. For teams working on visual generation infrastructure, the combination of the hybrid architecture and the scaling analysis gives you concrete guidance on how to build and scale these systems without just guessing. All right, that's our five papers for today. Genuinely a strong batch: agent evaluation infrastructure, coding agent data pipelines, provenance-aware, multimodal reasoning, visual state verification, and a new hybrid generation architecture. A lot of foundational work that's going to shape how the next generation of systems gets built and evaluated. Huge thanks to our sponsors: Ada for bridging research and production AI with the Glow compiler, Ago Consulting, AkGo for silicon expertise from AI accelerators to full SoC design, and Zen Semiconductor for their silicon portfolio and for bringing Ada's production AI deployment capabilities to businesses everywhere. If you're enjoying Unzip and want more AI coverage, check out GitNews AI or AI Special Report. Both are part of the Ada Podcast Network and equally worth your time. Links to all five papers are in the show notes. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you next time on Unzip.